How long does it take to actually sell a property? What is the current status of the real estate market right now? How many listings are out there versus how many houses are actually selling? All this and much more on this month's Heat Check of the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast.
Investing in real estate can be full of pitfalls. Don't end up as another horror story on Mike Riley's Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast. Hi, I'm Mike Ferrante with Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team, serving buyers and sellers all over the state of Ohio. We specialize in helping investors buy and sell real estate, so before you make another move, go to 21mike.com to schedule an appointment. The 21 Mike team, your one-stop shop for buying and selling.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Riley with my associate in real estate, Mike Ferrante, ready with his numbers for August Heat Check.
All right. Well, everyone waits eagerly every month, I know, for these numbers. And I've got a couple little surprising changes. Nothing shifts on a dime here in Northeast Ohio. That's one of the things that investors in particular like about the Midwest in general, and Cleveland, of course. We're kind of like the tortoise and the hare, right, Mike? Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, and that you can include the Cleveland Browns with that as well. So
yeah, but
we're not winning any races.
Yeah, I was gonna say, at least the tortoise wins. The Browns, I don't want to go there. That's a different podcast, right?
No, the Browns are the hare. They're always, everybody's waited with bated breath, and then of course the tortoise, the Pittsburgh Steelers, whatever, they always end up winning. So go ahead, Mike. I digress.
All right. Okay. So I ran four statistics, the ones that everyone wants to know, and they really tell the story of the market. So we're going to talk median sale price. We're going to talk median days to sell. That's how long it takes to actually sell a property, like get it under contract, not closing. There's that whole closing process, but how long does it take to get the property sold to where it's under contract? And then we'll talk about that inventory issue. So number of active listings, and this is all of Cuyahoga County, which is Greater Cleveland, essentially. And that's residential. So it's houses, condos. That's basically what we're looking at. And then the number of sales. I think that is really important to know, the number of sales, and that has been a big story. The listings and sales are really what everyone's talking about. So we, last month, rose in number of listings, which is good news. We're over 2,100 now, 2,168 active residential listings, which is up from last month when it was 2,058. But, last year we were talking about this shortage and we're saying, but inventory should start creeping up. Believe it or not, we're down from last year. We're talking about new construction and the inventory should be rising. We're still down. A year ago, it was over 2,600 listings and we're just over 2,100. So the inventory actually shrunk in the last year.
And why do you think that?
Yeah, see, that's surprising to me, Mike, because I was fully expecting that we had bottomed out on number of listings. And it just boggles my mind that we're actually still going down. So I think, and we've talked about this, but the raising of interest rates is causing people not to sell.
Bingo. Oh, we talked about that last month, E-Check. My son, Brooke, he is the canary in the coal mine right there. He said, I'm locked into a 3%. Why would I want to do 7.5%? So the irony of it is, with the rise in interest rates, its impact on housing is it's driving probably housing costs up. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and housing, real estate, is one of the primary factors when you look at inflation. So if the Fed is raising rates to try to slow down the economy and bring down inflation, it's having the opposite effect on real estate because, supply and demand. We're not talking any high-level economics here, simple supply and demand. When there's less of something, the price tends to go up. Well, guess what? We have fewer active listings on the market. It's still going to have upward pressure on prices. And it's still a very brisk market. And, you know, I'll cut to the chase on that. You know, it's still a very strong market, but we did actually have a dip in the median sale price last month, which is another thing that surprised me. So it's still up, but the median sale price for last month was 209. And it was actually down from 225 the month before. But if you just go back to May, but see, these little jumps are not indicative of a big trend. So I'm not sitting here going, oh my God, prices dropped to 209. The market's crashing. You can't look at it because the sample size just isn't big enough. You know, you have a handful. And I also compared it to the average, you know, because we talk about medians and averages. And if you're a statistics nerd like me, you know, you might say, oh, but the average can get pulled upward or downward by a handful of sales that are too high. And that's why a lot of times we like to look at median. But in this case, the median and the average are pretty much following the same pattern. And I look back at previous years, and there is a little bit of up and down. It's kind of like the stock market. You know how they talk about, if you just stayed in the stock market, overall, you'd have gained 8% or 7%, depending on who you ask. But there's always little ups and downs. The beauty of the real estate investment here in Cleveland, whether you're just a homeowner and you're thinking of it as your, you know, investment in your own primary residence, or if you're an investor, is that if you go back 5 years, the median sale price was $139,900. So in 5 years, Cuyahoga County has had about a 50% increase. That's 10% per year.
Right.
But and that's still, using the 209.
Yeah, but see that, okay. Yeah, but you got to also consider what it was like in 2007 before the crash, because, I mean, prices were still somewhat depressed 5 years ago, a little bit.
Yes, I would say the bottom of the pricing, the slump that we had was 2012. So if you look at any graphs, that's when it bottomed out and started rising. But that was a very slow, steady rise from 2012 to 2018. We didn't have that huge increase in appreciation until COVID. The inventory.
COVID warped that. It accelerated or brought to light people's desire to have their own space during COVID, right? As opposed to renting, living in a smaller place. I mean, that started driving, you know, I mean, vacation areas like, you know, Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, you know, that they talk about how there was this huge surge over the last couple of years. And now it's kind of quieting down. So there is a little bit of that, but
So I think there's so many factors that you can talk about that drove the demand, that caused the inventory shortage. And, you know, we could do a whole podcast just on that, but just to name a couple. So just big picture things. You talk about the recession and the foreclosure crisis, all the short sales. You had a bunch of people who were homeowners who lost their homes and became renters. And then during that recession, you had people who had to combine households just because they couldn't afford their own space anymore. They lost their jobs. Yeah. They had terrible credit. So you had a lot of combined households. So the number of people owning homes went down during that time, and you had more renters. You also had an economic crisis. So you've got builders not building. There's no development going on in that time. Remember, builders were going out of business. You know, unless you were a big guy, you probably didn't weather that storm. And the number of new construction starts over those years was almost none compared to past years. So you fast forward to, say, 2018, and that is when the inventory crisis started happening, because you started having people who were done with their bankruptcies. Their short sales and their foreclosures were starting to, I don't want to say drop off their credit, but they were getting to a point where lenders would lend to them again. So now you have a strong economy, and people are once again saying, you know what, it's time for me to be a homeowner again. And so you have
You got low interest rates.
Exactly, Mike. 2 and 3 and is maybe up to 4% interest rates. You know, and so the government, the Fed, trying to stimulate that growth, had kept the interest rates low. So you have this perfect storm of buyers entering the market, renters wanting to become buyers, people once again being creditworthy according to the banks, And all of a sudden they're gobbling up this inventory, and there weren't enough homes built over the last several years. And about 2018 is when you started to see the inventory dip, and builders couldn't catch up. Right. So, you know, you go back, if you go back another year or two, say 2016, 2017, we were at more like 6,000 listings. To say that again, 6,000 listings 7 years ago, 4,000 listings 5 years ago, and now we're down to 2,000 active listings on the market. There's just not enough homes on the shelf.
Hey, let's stop here. We got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, and we'll be back. If you've been listening to this podcast, then you understand or should understand the pitfalls of investing in Cleveland real estate. Say you're looking for an investment property to rent, and these are the things that could happen and often do. You overpay for a house, and it's in the ghetto. Then you find that it's a money pit with endless surprise repairs. Your hapless property manager, who may be the brother-in-law of the realtor, gets a tenant who after 3 months stops paying the rent. Then the toilet explodes, and you have nobody to repair it because, guess what? The property manager is not answering the phone. Yep, that's the ugly side of the Cleveland real estate market. But we have a solution. Buy one of our properties. It's been inspected. It's been vetted. It's in a rock-solid part of town. It comes with a Gold Star tenant paying top dollar rent, and we manage it. Call us at 216-371-8160 if you're interested.
So those are two of the big numbers. You know, listings are still down. And the median sale price, while it dipped a little bit, we're still over 200,000, which is, we did get a little bit over 200,000 last year. We peaked at 211. So just to give you an example of why that dip is not concerning to me, in 2022 in June, that was our peak, 211,000. And then we dropped to 202,000. And then from there, we had our usual seasonal dip. You know, we got down to a low of 180,000 median sale price. That is a normal kind of cyclical change in the prices in our area. So I think we're just heading into that seasonal slowdown. And when fall and winter hit, you expect those numbers to dip even a little more. But what's amazing to me is the days to sell. You know, we got down to single digits days to sell a house, which is unheard of in our market. You know, back in the day,
that's LA time.
Yeah, exactly. Here in Cleveland, if I walked in your house 5 years ago and said, hey, I guarantee I'll sell your house in 30 days or less, people would be like, yeah, what's the catch? You know, what are you doing? What are you going to underprice my home? You're going to just give it away. But nowadays, if it takes you 30 days to sell your home, buyers are already raising eyebrows. So we're staying steady at 12 days to sell a home, which here in Northeast Ohio is unheard of in past years.
Right.
Go back 5 years. Take a guess. Five years ago in July, how many days to sell a house?
45.
42. Exactly. That was normal. But Mike, if I met you 5 years ago and said, hey, it's going to take 42 days to sell your house, you'd probably shrug your shoulders and say, awesome. Where do I sign?
Yeah, right. Well, it's also changing people who are coming into Cleveland who are renting from us. They're renting our short-term properties because they got to find a house to buy.
Exactly. Those people who do need to move, they sometimes don't want to end up homeless, and they're needing that short-term housing.
Right. So the short-term housing for the rental market is something that didn't exist 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Short-term furnished. I mean, that was unheard of. That's like a cell phone. That's how radical it was. I mean, most people, they either bought a house or they did a conventional one-year rent, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So, you know, things are always churning. Things are always changing. But let me get back to the price. You had mentioned 180. It got down to as low as 180. When did it get down that low? Are you talking about in the last year?
And actually, I'm looking at the numbers here. January of 2023, do you know the median was actually 160? I mean, that's how drastically
wow.
our seasonal changes are. Median sale price was 160, which and just 6-7 months before that, it was 211. Now we're back up to 209.
Okay, so you buyers out there in the Cleveland, for the Cleveland market, call Mike Ferrante in January.
No kidding. Especially you flippers, you know, that I used to always look for good flips over the winter because we knew that market time went up. You know, you had these homes that maybe were listed at the end of summer and they were sitting on the market for 3, 4, 5 months, and you swoop in December, January, February and make them an offer. Sometimes that's a great time to buy. And then, you know, it might take 30 to 60 days to do your renovation just in time for the spring market when things are heating up again.
There you go. Now, let me ask you about our house on Edge Hill. We are, how many days?
About 70 days in on that one. This is a really cool house. Those of you listeners out there have heard us talk about this. This 9,000 square foot incredible mansion with three stories, a ballroom, a foyer area that was meant for entertainers. You have your string quartet play for you there. I mean, incredible.
Magnificent Ambersons. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So talk to me about it. Where are we at now? We've had a couple, we finally got into a little bit of price drop.
Yeah, tiny
now,
price
now
drop.
But we're getting some people interested, right?
Well, here's the thing. When you're marketing a home, you read the tea leaves, as I like to say, or I also love my doctor analogies. So you're treating your patient and you're trying medicine, you're doing this treatment, that treatment, and you're watching for some signs of life, some signs of recovery. And if this medicine doesn't work, you try a different one. And so in our case, you know, we do our marketing, we do our videos, all the cool stuff that we do. But at a certain point, you have to look at it and say, okay, did I do all this stuff right? Are my pictures good? Are my video? Did I advertise it? Did I get a bunch of showings? And then you have to say, okay, the writing's on the wall. Buyers are saying no, and then you're left with price. And so we start making price adjustments. And Mike, it's like clockwork. You know, I wish I could say I'm brilliant or something, but you lower the price, you get a spark of activity. It's just, it's like that, the EKG machine that's monitoring the heartbeat, you know.
Yeah.
The heartbeat is getting lower and lower and lower. And then you do a price change. And guess what happens? Ding, ding, you know, the yeah. beeping starts beeping again. And
right.
that's what we just did. We did a very small price change. We got buyers who are kind of hanging around saying we like it, but, and that's going to rekindle their interest.
Okay. So the price change and the number of activity, what's your prediction on when you're going to have it under contract? If you had to guess.
I think that we're going to have an offer soon. You know, our goal, I have my thoughts on how I would manage that price. But obviously it's a group effort here. I can't twist a seller's arm and say, you need to reduce your price this much. You know,
right.
we have to be rowing in the same direction. You know, I've had listings, Mike, where we were on the market. This is even before this insane inventory shortage we had. It was in the Heights. We started at 208. About 30 days in, we went to 205, and I had been pushing all along for 200 because I felt like that gets you more action. You know, we've talked pricing strategies before. Not 199, but exactly 200. You can hit me up on my YouTube channel to learn more about that. But here's what happened. About 35, 45 days in, we lowered it one more time, second price reduction to 200,000. And guess what? We got two offers. They started duking it out, and the thing sold for 210, which was over the original list price.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's after 45 days on market. So it's all about driving competition, picking the right digits, doing the marketing, and getting people engaged. You know, we might drop that price one more time on that house, and suddenly two or three or four of those buyers who were kind of hanging around might decide, hey, it's time to pull the trigger. Let's make an offer on this. And next thing you know, we're in multiple offers. So it's still a seller's market. That's the moral of the story from Heat Check. So if you are a buyer and something is sitting on the market for a while and you're interested, don't wait too long. you know, you're going to miss your shot. It's like, what's that? You ever shoot skeet, Mike? I've never done it, but you know,
I've only watched it on movies, the James Bond movie. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. What's that? Goldfinger, I think. Isn't that the one?
Yeah.
But if you wait too long to pull the trigger, the skeet's going to be gone and you're going to miss your shot.
Exactly. And for you buyers out there, just wait till January, right?
Especially if you're an investor, you know, owner-occupant buyers too. But the problem for owner-occupant buyers is that if you're the vulture waiting, you wait too long, it's gone. You know, I can't tell you how many times, even back in the day before this shortage, we'd go into a house that was 75 days on market and think, oh, nobody's looking at this. It's been sitting here forever. We write our offer. Guess what? Hey, Mike, sorry to tell you there's another offer. What do you want to do? And then it turns into like a mini auction. Now, fortunately, there's only two bidders. So hopefully you don't have to get beat up too bad. But only one buyer is going to win that auction.
Right. Okay. All right. Any other stats?
Well, the last one is number of sales. And this is the one that has my realtor friends panicked. They're looking at 5 years ago, 1,600 sales in July. And that's a normal, it's July, we're feasting. There's all these sales. Yeah. This is the time for us to make our living, because we know in the winter there just aren't as many sales. You know, for example, that winter, we got down to 838 sales in January. And that was normal, literally half as many sales in January as there were in July. Well, so in a time where sales are typically rising, we dipped to 1,253 sales. So 400 fewer sales from 5 years ago at the same time. Even a year ago, it was over 1,500 sales. So 1,200 sales in the month of July, you got a bunch of realtors scratching their heads saying, oh my gosh, you know, I'm selling 10, 20, 30% fewer homes this year. How am I going to put food on the table? So the number of sales is dipping at a time when it's usually rising. Right. Now, why is that? You know, we talked about, people are, there's no inventory and rates are higher.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, heat check for August. What's your anticipation of September?
So
back from vacation, where do you think it's going to go?
Yeah, so I think that we're going to stay over 200,000 for a good part of the year. But I, you know, like happens every year, we're going to dip back below 200,000 median sale price. You will see market times rising. You'll see the number of sales dip, because it does. There's less activity in the winter, so you're going to see the market slow down. And great time for buyers, comparatively good time to buy.
Right.
And if you're a seller, you may have waited too long this year to get your home on the market to max out your sale price. That said, it's still a great time to sell. You know, there's still lots of multiple offers. We just had a property where we got three offers and the thing went $51,000 over list price.
Well, maybe that's what you do. Maybe instead of shooting for the moon the first time, you shoot for, you know, a lower price and start a bidding war, right?
Mike, you're preaching to the choir here. The biggest mistake a seller can make is overpricing. Underpricing is not a mistake in this market. Right. Underpricing results in competition and almost like an auction-like atmosphere where you will get full market value. The kiss of death right now in this market is overpricing.
Okay. But I do have to shout out to this one house, friend of mine, longtime customer, Betsy's house on Delamere. The realtor had suggested 575 and then trigger a bidding war. And I said, no way. Her house was just unbelievably great. Everything was perfect, even a putting lawn in the backyard. New kitchen, new garage, just gorgeous. 675. Sold it right away. California.
Yep.
Guy.
Yeah, Mike, those of our listeners who don't know the Cleveland area and think, oh, Cleveland, that's just a Rust Belt town. We have some incredible old homes that are just, you know, they would fit in anywhere in Beverly Hills. I mean, mansions that have gatehouses and grounds that look like country clubs. You know, you just have to go online and look at some of these homes.
Exactly. So, all right, Mike, good heat check. And we got another podcast Rath, R-A-T-H, and people are going to start following that. I know. We're going to really make that fun. Put it on your podcast. Start talking it up on Facebook and your other social medias.
So, yeah, yeah. Hit me up on YouTube. It's Mike Ferrante, Cleveland Realtor, and our podcast is called Free Beer and Real Estate.
There you go. We're going to end on that note, Mike. That is just too good. All right. Thanks for your time, Mike. All right.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast with Mike Riley. Please add our show or follow us on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. Leave a like or comment on the video. All engagement is appreciated. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well for video content coming soon. For any Cleveland listeners or Cleveland Browns fans, you can check out our other podcast, Cleveland Browns Anonymous, for our weekly group therapy session. This is also on all the same platforms as the Cleveland Real Estate Investor.